Blind Nil Audio.
I'm Alex L.
I'm Libby Delena.
Welcome
to This Morning Walk Podcast.
Hello, walk stars. Out on a beautiful walk. It's surprisingly cool this morning in May in Northeast Massachusetts. I've got my coat on, my hat on. Let me stop walking. You can hear the birds. A moment ago, I walked right past a beautiful, I think it was a pileated woodpecker. In any case, so as you know, this show is about inspiring people to go for a walk. And you also probably know it's about much more than walking or the physical act of walking. It's about moving through life. It's about taking the next best step. This walking practice, for me, it's also a time to reflect on things that are happening in my life, to reflect on relationships, to reflect on recent conversations that I've had. And so today you're going to hear my recent conversation with Nadia Okamoto. And as you'll soon hear, Nadia has started an incredibly important nonprofit called August. It's a lifestyle brand working to reimagine periods in our culture and to destigmatize the conversation around those who menstruate. I felt it was important to have her on the show because I think we walk through this world with all sorts of stigmas and assumptions about things. And it's until we really pause and think about these elements that we, you know, begin to understand them. And I think that's true for periods and people who menstruate. I think there's quite a bit of stigma around them. And so walk with me. I ask you to just sort of think about, if you're someone who menstruates, think about a time where you felt like you had to hide it, or it felt shameful, or you were embarrassed by it. And I think the thing about what Nadia's doing is she's asking us, why have we surrounded this simple, biological, important function in shame, in something that we hide away? Nadia does a beautiful job of bringing this pure bodily function out into the light, where we can all begin to recognize that as we walk through this world, we're tucking it away, we're potentially hiding it, and it's time for that to change. So enjoy this conversation. I'm so inspired by Nadia, and our relationship started with a walk on campus when she was still at college, Cambridge, Mass. Enjoy the conversation.
I'm so happy to see you. Well, hey, walk stars. So this is Nadia, someone who I met 10 years ago, really admire and adore. And I'm going to let you do your bio, but here's the framework. An activist, founder of one of the largest global youth nonprofits. I think that's at the top of the list. Published author from Simon & Schuster. Am I right to say that your book, Period Power, made it to Kirkus lists of best young adult authors?
I think maybe best young adult nonfiction, something like that.
Fantastic. TEDx speaker, TikTok star, Forbes 30 under 30, and most recently founder of a really brilliant brand, August, whose goal it is to destigmatize menstruation and provide period care for everyone who menstruates. And you and I met a decade ago. You were at university. And we worked together on your nonprofit Period, which was created to help those in need access menstrual products. And I honestly, Nadia, I remember actually going for a walk with you around campus and you saying to me that I think I have this right. Please correct me if I'm wrong, but something like 1 in 5 girls have either left school or missed school entirely because they didn't have access to period products. And it was at that moment, I mean, I was thrilled to be working with you, but it really became clear that menstrual hygiene is a privilege. I hadn't ever even thought of that. And that was my privilege to not even pause and think about that at all. And it was a really impactful moment, which is in part why we have stayed connected. So tell us about where you are. Tell us about creating Period while you were at school. Tell us where you are now with August.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I think that I'll blow your mind even more. It's actually 4 out of 5. So 4 out of 5 teens in the U.S. have either missed class or know someone who has missed class due to a lack of access to period products. And so it's a very high number, right? And I think that, you know, that number is really, I think, just also probably underestimated if you think about periods are stigmatized. So how much is underreported? But yeah, I mean, I think we met exactly 8 years ago. It's 2024 now. And I was a freshman in college in like 2016. I've been in the period space for 10 years. So I started a nonprofit when I was 16 called period.org. That's still going and growing under new leadership. I led it as executive director for 6 years and was really passionate about starting something in the period poverty space after I learned about the issue. I think similarly had this reaction of, how have I never thought of this issue? It is such a privilege to have not thought of this issue and learning about things like even the systemic barriers to menstrual equity. So the tampon tax, which at the time in 2014 existed in 40 states, but is the sales tax on period products, considering them non-essential goods. And meanwhile, products like Rogaine, Viagra are considered medical necessities, and food stamps not covering period products, people as female inmates not having access to adequate amounts of period products. So I was very passionate about the issue. And I don't think my mission has ever changed. It's just taken me on unexpected routes of new careers. So I was passionate about solving the issue through direct service. So I started a direct service nonprofit. I was then interested, the more I learned about it, in policy. So I ran for office, and Libby, you made the logo for my political campaign. And then I also at the time, got really invested in just like period related legislation. And then I was interested in writing a book about it because in my policy conversations, I just felt like I wasn't taken seriously. And I didn't have a succinct way of telling people like, here's the issue. Like, let me just educate. Here's everything, like vetted information. So I wrote this book. And then after I wrote the book and I started working with bigger period care brands as the organization grew is when I really got passionate about the consumer brand side of it. And I honestly think part of it is the learnings I took from working in the nonprofit space of really seeing the American consumerist capitalistic culture for what it is, of like nonprofits still exist in a capitalist system.
Right.
And I'm either begging people to change their minds for the goodness of their hearts and do small dollar donations, or to just think critically about what they're putting in their own body and, you know, be more conscious of the purchase that they make when they are taking care of their own period. And so I started to think a lot about consumer change and consumer behavior. And my junior year of college, started raising capital for what is now August, a period product brand that is available online and at Target.
Dun, da, da, da. I love that. And I think one of the things that's so powerful about August, to be perfectly honest, is you have a huge community embedded within that brand. And you also have really, really powerful key pillars, including sustainability, which is something that's near and dear to my heart. So talk to us about August's community and then also the key pillars, which are foundational to differentiating your brand, honestly, from any other period care brand out there.
Yeah. Well, I would say that, you know, sustainability is something that was at the forefront of our minds when we first knew that we could create a brand, right? It was looking at specifically pads, right? The most common period product that we use. The average maxi pad using about 3 to 5 plastic bags worth of plastic in each one, right? Meanwhile, we're surrounded by conversations like about plastic straws and just like plastic consumption in general. And then you know, working with the right manufacturers, found that we could make a much more sustainable pad that didn't sacrifice anything on efficacy. And I think that's really been our way of thinking around products, is how do we create really thoughtfully made, more sustainable products that aren't, by the way, the most sustainable. The most sustainable would be free bleeding or using a menstrual cup, which we'll work on. But I think the idea was focusing on this next gen menstruator, Gen Z menstruator, how do you create, one, a new culture around period? So celebratory, bold, excited, on social, a little fun, pretty quirky, create a whole ethos around it. But also on the product side, how do you make a product that people actually use, right? And I always use the example of straws, because again, I think it's just a key example where like, there's a more sustainable option of straws, but we all hate them. Like paper straws suck.
Are terrible.
Yeah. So I think a lot of the idea was, how do you create more sustainable options of things that, even if you don't give a fuck about sustainability, it's just a better product. And that's really what we wanted to do with our first round of period care.
I think you were on maybe Good Morning America or something, and somebody off camera brought you a teapot with hot water in it, and you took the packaging off your pads, put that little packaging into a bowl, poured the hot water on it, and it was dissolved in what, 30 seconds? Not even, five seconds. I mean, and so that is fundamentally different from what anybody else is doing. So if you give a shit about the environment and the product works, how could you not begin? What did you say a moment ago? Was something like 3 plastic bags for each pad? Say that again.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's just, if you think about it, like, you know, when you ask anybody who's used a pad, we think of it as a crinkly thing.
Right.
Because it is.
Right. Right. Yeah, because and uncomfortable, by the way. So
yeah,
okay. So here's you just brought this up, which is this notion of the cultural around periods. I would say, where are you now on TikTok and the number of followers?
I have my dog just got home.
Oh, fantastic!
About 4 million followers on TikTok.
Right, and I would say that what you have done single-handedly is tell a new story about how we feel about the fact that we get our periods, and it's empowered, and it's culturally important. We are all birthed because of this natural thing that happens to us. So tell us more about, I mean, honestly, I think single-handedly you have destigmatized this whole sort of culture around hiding it and, you know, putting it, tucking it away and feeling shameful about it. So talk to me about that. Talk to me about talk to me about the period fairy. Fantastic.
I wouldn't say it's definitely not single-handedly. I think it's like definitely so many people, advocates out there and other brands too, I think. And I think that's a lot of what I want to see with the industry, is like right now there are a lot of things that we do that make headlines, and I hope that they stop making headlines because they become the norm, right?
You're right, exactly.
But yeah, I mean, I think for me, I've always been on social media. I think when I was on the nonprofit side and an executive director, where a lot of my role was being a nonprofit darling, if you will, you know, that people could donate money to, I had to be really thoughtful, like just really careful about how I presented. Once I took away that pressure, I could kind of do whatever I wanted in service of this mission of destigmatizing periods, raising brand awareness. And so it wasn't until I started August, which was, let's say, six, 7 years into my career, that I started posting videos with my period blood. And honestly, it wasn't, let me shock people and put, you know, my period blood in a video. It was, okay, I'm talking about a tampon. I'm getting all these questions. How do you use a tampon? How do you use a pad? And so I just showed them how I use it, you know? And people would ask, how is this pad different? And I'm like, well, I need to show you that it's so much more absorbent and all those things. And so, you know, I think that a lot of my ethos on social has just been like, well, I, you know, just no holding back. Like, I'm just going to show exactly what a period is. And it's not this gross, disgusting thing, although it's messy sometimes. And so it was a bit of that. And then other things, you know, the period fairy is my alter ego. And it really is just like me existing in the world, you know, going to music festivals, showing my pad through sheer festival outfits and handing tampons and pads out to strangers. And it now has like 350 million views on TikTok. And I think the Period Fairy was really my way of just basically existing in the world of like, if the period stigma did not exist, what would I be?
Right. Well, and it also comes with kind of this really lovely energy around it. Again, it's bold. It's joyful. I mean, how did we ever get to a place where having your period was, again, it was shunt put away? And I think the thing about the Period Fairy is you show up with this kind of really bright atmosphere around it, yeah, which is really important. It's, yeah, it's just like any other natural function that happens to us. So how did we hold it in this really sort of quiet, dark place? Nobody talks about it. It's just bizarre. Okay, so here's a question. Would you categorize menstrual products as a social justice issue?
Yes, because would you categorize healthcare as a social justice issue,
right,
or poverty, or race? Like, I think periods relate so deeply to just like our basic bodily care. And because of how intersectional identity is, it absolutely becomes a social, you know, it's a social issue.
And how does that play into how August shows up in the world in terms of, because I think that may be a new concept for some. And so how does that play out with how you and August speak to the world? Because I 100% agree, but I think many people probably haven't thought of it in that way.
I think part of it is in rooting everything we do in impact and being really intentional about everything we do, from our messaging to the content we put out in the world. So things like, we've always been very gender inclusive. We don't use the term feminine hygiene. We say menstrual hygiene. We're right. inclusive and very loud and proud to support trans menstruators and non-binary menstruators. I use the term menstruators, and just small decisions about our language, you know, doing simple things like having a give back program. So for every sale that we're making, we're also donating products to menstruators in need, working with an organization that's, you know, Black run, and, you know, the creators of the campaign Black Girls Bleed, and talks a lot about how, you know, Black women are three times as likely to have uterine fibroids being heavy bleeding, something that can, you know, also impact ability to participate at an equal way in school and in work if you don't have the right support systems around it or you don't have access to products. And then also, since we launched, we've never charged the tampon tax to customers wherever possible. And when we launched in Target, we created a way that if you get charged a tax on your period products and you text us a picture of your receipt, we'll Venmo you back within 48 hours for that tax. And so we very highly publicized tampontaxback.com that we've since recruited 7 of our quote unquote competitors to join in on this initiative on. And it's basically creating a way for customers to never really be charged the tax, but also be thinking critically about the tax whenever they see their receipt or purchase the products. And so again, I think that a lot of, like, I wouldn't even necessarily call it activism. It's just like our commitments of, if we're going to be a period brand and we have a platform and we have one of the biggest platforms in the space, what is the responsibility of having that?
Yeah, it's wonderful. I will also say, as someone who is deep in menopause, you even invited me to participate in some of your conversations. So, you know, it is something that that conversation continues with your brand, which I think is also incredibly, incredibly powerful. Hey, Walk Stars, we'll be right back. Hey, Walk Stars. I want to turn you on to one of my favorite podcasts in the entire world. It's the 10% Happier podcast, and it has one guiding philosophy. Happiness is a skill you can learn, and I truly believe this. So why not master it? Hosted by Dan Harris, a journalist who had a panic attack on national television and then set out on a journey of transformation. He's now on a quest to help others achieve peace and happiness. Every week, Dan talks to top scientists, meditation teachers, and even the odd celebrity in wide-ranging conversations that explore topics like productivity, anxiety, enlightenment, psychedelics, and relationships. The interviews cover everyone from Brené Brown to Alexander Draymond to Sam Harris. So, Walkstars, as you know, this podcast is much more than just about walking. It's the same for 10% Happier. Think of listening to 10% Happier as a workout for your mind. Find 10% Happier wherever you listen to podcasts. Welcome back to This Morning Walk podcast. You started August how many years ago?
We launched in 2021.
And I think one of the things that is really so powerful is that you and your co-founder, wonderful Nick, bring to this space a really vibrant voice of youthfulness, quite honestly. Whereas many of these products, I think, are started by big brands, kind of anonymous. And I think there is something really powerful about young voices. And here I sit as a 62-year-old. So I think there's something really, really powerful that to have you and your, you know, your community speak out about it, and even reframing the language that we use. And I just think it differentiates you from all the other brands that are out there. Can you say something about that? Do you view sort of your stage in life as being a unique asset?
Yes. I mean, I'm what they call geriatric Gen Z. I'm more on the older side. But, and I think to what you're saying too, like, I think a lot of what I hope for is continuing to destigmatize periods, but also perimenopause and menopause, because there is so much more stigma on the other end of getting your period, because it's also so intertwined with, you know, the stigma around aging, especially as a woman, you know, and I have a lot of thoughts on that. But, you know, I think that, well, one, a key way that we've been able to start conversations around periods is through social media. Social media isn't something that I've had to hire someone else to
right.
do.
Yeah.
It means that I can just do it myself because I've grown up on social media, and I can do it in a way that matches these Gen Z trends because I'm one of them. And it also means that I think you feel the authenticity when I speak about it on social media, because social media has been so second nature to me since I was 9 years old.
Right. Right. Yeah. So if you were to share some wisdom, what can we all be thinking about to do ways to show up in the world that we can sort of support you in August in destigmatizing the conversations around periods? What are some things that we can hold, think about, share, understand, read, in order to become supporters of what it is that you're doing? Because I think, to your point, it touches on all of us who have potentially had a period, who maybe no longer do, anybody yep. who menstruates. I mean, it has a profound impact. And so what are some things that we can do to support your work?
You know, I think it's everything from buying the products to telling all your friends. But I also think it's just like embodying this new ethos that we're trying to continue yeah. push forward, which is like not whispering about your period when you are doing your kind of local spring cleaning of things to donate to an organization, thinking yeah. of period products and hygienic items, you know, telling your friends about it, having real conversations about periods. Again, I think period poverty is such an, there's still so much education to do to tell people about it. And I think that the open dialogue aspect of just like, if you weren't ashamed or scared of what people would think from talking about your body, just having conversations, I think menopause is a really key example of that, right? Like menopause has 35 different symptoms that can start when you're like 35 years old.
And go on for decades.
Yes. Yep. And go on for decades. And so, and like your period is something you're experiencing on a cyclical basis. And even if you aren't, and maybe you're on birth control or some sort of hormonal supplement, like creating spaces for open conversations about that, because we might not have a lot in common, you know, with other menstruators around us, but this is something we have in common, and it's something we can probably trade stories about for hours.
Forever, right? What products or services do you say, are there Are there areas of innovation in this space right now? I mean, what would you like to see created in the next products, services? What would you like to see created in the next few years around this issue? I mean, there new products? Are there, what's happening?
Yeah, I think we're making more and more progress. I think what is exciting to see is you know, it's just more funding in the space. It's very expensive to innovate. Tampons are also a class 2 FDA approved medical device, meaning that there's also the FDA clearance that also costs money to innovate on. I think what I'm also excited for, and we actually are working on a lot of new products on this, is going beyond just like absorbing blood in period care, but thinking about period pain, PMS, all the other symptoms that happen 24/7 in your overall cycle.
Right. Well, and then potentially I would imagine there's also, and to your point, there's also products that come with perimenopause. There's products that come with menopause. There's products, I imagine, and education around all of that.
Yeah. I mean, I think that that's part of it. I actually just had a call today with a company specifically focused on perimenopause supplements. And, you know, again, talking to them, I think their biggest challenge is going to be like, most people don't even know what perimenopause is, right?
Right. Yeah.
But there are new products coming to life that are about, you know, addressing certain, you know, perimenopause issues, menopause and symptoms related.
Well, I mean, I think it really ultimately goes back to destigmatizing this whole ecosystem, right? It's a natural biological thing that happens. Somehow we've tucked it away. People are just beginning to talk about the full portfolio of what that is, from when you first start bleeding to when you stopped, and nobody's really having full conversations about it. And to your point, you know, with menopause, it's 35 different symptoms, and everybody's sort of Venn diagram of what they're experiencing is unique. I can say, you know, sitting around a table talking with three, you know, people roughly my age, everybody's completely different.
Yeah.
And nobody knows really how to navigate any of it, honestly.
Yeah.
So what is it that you in particular are walking with right now? And it can be with regards to this space. Where are your dreams for the next year, next 2 years? It can be in this period space. It can be just personally. What are you walking with? What are you walking through right now that is having a profound effect on your life? I know you just moved. I think you just moved.
No, I didn't move, but I did get a weekend home that I'm excited to work on.
Fantastic. I love that.
I would say something I'm walking with is that, like, I think a lot about engaging what I called in my book, like, period warriors, like people who have periods who are interested in having these conversations. And I think I'm in an exciting point in my career, but also exciting point in, I guess it is a challenge in the August journey of, I've been able to reach the millions of people who are interested in this niche.
Right.
But now I have to really think about, how do I reach the people who, you know, aren't really open about periods, maybe have never talked about the issue before. And, you know, I think that, like, while I have done that to an extent, you know, I think that there's a lot more work that needs to be done. I think I've figured out ways to engage, like, let's say the average American teenager who already, let's say, is like very pro-choice, already identifies as a feminist through the information they have about what that means. But what about the people who, like, don't consider themselves feminists and, like, don't actually like what they know about this kind of big word feminist, and, you know, and maybe, you know, aren't surrounded by conversations about things like equity or periods? I think that there's this kind of, like, I've been able to reach this niche of period talk. But then, like, how do I get into, like, the mainstream of America, which maybe has never even had a conversation about periods in general? And I think that that's something I'm thinking a lot about.
Yeah, that's interesting. So those that you've spoken to or you connect to currently have an affinity for potentially listen to your conversation and hear what it is that you're talking about and begin to think about this conversation differently. Now, what I hear you saying is there's another ring beyond yeah. that. And it may feel like it might feel kind of far away. Actually, that ring is not a ring of individuals who are comfortable in that space, yeah. who have had that conversation with family members, have even thought of, menstruation care as a social justice issue. And so how do you get to that next ring? How do you get to those individuals who may be pushed away from the table a little bit? It's an interesting inquiry. Do you have any thoughts? What are you thinking for that?
I mean, I think you can even push it further, right? Which is yeah. Like if I think about it from a social media perspective, how do right. I reach the people who, as soon as I say the word period
tap
equity,
out.
Social yeah. justice, right. like as soon as I say, make it more of a social issue, are not interested. Yeah. And I think that what I'm passionate about is like periods being an issue that's on all of us because it's so right. intersectional, so connected to all of us. And yet, and again, I think that like, again, for primarily other progressive people right. who are thinking about sustainability and what they're consuming, that's a world that I know. I'm partly because I grew up in like liberal bubbles of like Portland, Oregon and New York. But there is a whole realm of other people out there who also need to be a part of this conversation. And if you think about it, are probably more affected by that's extremes right. of period stigma and period poverty and yet aren't part of this conversation. And so I'm thinking a lot about, yeah, just trying to kind of expand who we're reaching mm-hmm. and also diversifying the base of people that we're reaching, both mm-hmm. honestly, like politically, from inches, yep. geographically. So I think, again, like I think a lot of consumer brands think about this not trying to build just a company or business for the coastal elite, you know, right. but like building yeah. something that can be bigger and really push the boundary on who's a part of this conversation.
Yeah, and certainly included in that are those humans that aren't menstruating as yeah, advocates exactly. and allies and understanding the total picture. So I think that's right. If you had one last sort of nugget of wisdom to pass on to young menstruators, what would it be? I think back on that time as being a very tender time. There wasn't a lot of information. Now, again, I'm in a different, ecosystem here, but is there a wonderful place for young menstruators to go? I know you have a lot of content on August, but is there a place you would recommend for them to get information to be, begin to educate themselves on the total sort of picture of this conversation? Where's a good resource?
I wish there was one that was okay. different from me. So I was always just promoting. But I mean, I do think like what I'm proud of is that we've kind of created a lot of that, right?
I agree.
Vetted information on social media. You know, I think we also have our website called Ask August, where we talk a lot about, doctor vetted, medically accurate information from what is a period, how do I figure out what tampon to use, how do I use a tampon. But I think that's been it's a big learning for us. And I think from the beginning was realizing that period products cannot be talked about without a commitment to education. So people know that's right. what the products actually are. Right. And so that's why, even though we're, quote on paper, a consumer brand, there is so much work we do committed specifically to this element of education.
Right. And I would agree. I think your website has so, it's so rich with the essential information, and it goes beyond just the functional attributes of your product. It's much richer than that, much bigger than that. So,
and we get we do get comments that it's too busy because we have too much of that, but until we can start finding other areas that, other right. places that are rich with information, that's kind of what we're stuck continuing to do.
No, I love that. Well, thank you for joining me. I do remember very clearly going for our first walk together. I mean, this, again, 8 years ago, it was really transformative. I appreciate you coming on to talk about this. Tell everybody where we can find you, how they can support August and your work.
I'm just on social media at Nadia Okamoto. August is itsaugust.co online. And yeah, I'm actually going to go walk my dog after this.
Yay. Nadia, you're wonderful. I can't wait till we overlap again at some point and take a walk together. But congratulations on all of, certainly on It's August. Thank you for, you know, inviting the culture to think about this very natural thing that happens to menstruators in a way that is generous, welcoming, thoughtful. So thank you. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, have a great walk.
You too.
This Morning Walk is a production of Blind Nil Audio,
produced and edited by Chris Jacobs.
If you find value and meaning in the conversations that Libby and I have, please share the show with a friend and consider leaving a 5-star review. Comments on Apple Podcasts really help us out. When you do that, it introduces this show to a bigger audience. Thank you so much for listening.
You are wonderful. Have a great walk.
The views, information, or opinions expressed in the series are solely those of the individuals involved and do not necessarily represent those of Chip and Joanna Gaines, Blind Nil Audio, nor Magnolia.